explaining the conditions and why things are as they are, even as far back as ancient Iran, which was there in Persia. So it's definitely doing that. It's taking a toll. But yet, I know we've read the book, we've read the scripture, and we know God has a plan for it all, don't we? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Tim. I want you to turn with me this afternoon to the book of Acts, chapter number 2. The book of Acts, chapter 2. I want to just share with you for a little bit out of the scripture. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. So tonight we want to talk about, or have a, as I call it, a refresher course in the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Talking about the person and the work of the Holy Ghost. So as I read and as I share my heart tonight, I pray that God would touch us and that everybody in this room would leave here tonight filled with the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Ray H. Hughes said years ago in a message that he preached that the anointing makes the difference. And I'll be the first one to tell you that we need a fresh anointing in the church. Amen. We need a fresh touch. We need a fresh anointing. We need a fresh move of the Spirit. One of the most dangerous things that could happen is for a drunk driver or a driver that's driving a car that goes to sleep behind the wheel. I look at it like this. That if the church goes to sleep, we are definitely in trouble. So tonight we want to talk about this, and I need your touch today, tonight. It's been a little bit of a challenging week in some ways to try to get everything worked in. I told, I think, Jesse in so many words today, I was going to preach by filler, I guess, whichever way I feel like the Lord's leading me. But yet I did have in my heart, and I've got some things here that I felt like God was speaking to my heart. And Jody sent me this, I'm not going to do it, but Jody, I like that analogy you sent me about the milk and the spoon and the chocolate milk. I'll do that sometime. I thought about that as well. That's just a visual that we can do. Acts chapter number, Acts chapter number 2. Looking here in the scripture, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall, somebody shout, shall. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. This is talking about Peter, and Peter in verse number 4 it says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Look in 41, he says, and they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Father, we thank you today for this word. If I thank you, Father God, that we can turn to the Word of God and we can get your plans, and God, we can hear the voice of the Holy Ghost that speaks to us. Now, Father, I pray, God, that you would do a mighty work in this room tonight. I pray, God, that you would touch us as we reflect upon the working of the Holy Spirit throughout the book of Acts, this New Testament church. Father, I pray, God, that the wind of the Spirit would blow upon this church, upon me, upon every individual here tonight. And Father, we give you praise and we give you glory. We give you honor. And we thank you, God, for that you're doing in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, amen. Amen. When we begin to look at the book of Acts, it's often been said that the book of Acts is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. From the very beginning of the book of Acts, we can see the beginning of the working of the Spirit in the life of the church. When Peter was preaching there, of course, he told them if they would repent, if you look at this in verse number 38, when you begin to see this in the word of the Lord, he told them that if they would repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When I begin to think about this, it is something that God does on behalf of you and I. When I begin to read through the different scriptures that I have read for this lesson tonight, I begin to look at it in the ways that God knew what we needed. God knew that in this untoward generation, in a generation that is filled with rebellion or witchcraft or whatever the case may be, idol worship, that the church itself was needing something that only God could give. So we look at this first of all, and I want you to understand that the Holy Ghost is a gift from God. You don't have to conjure it up. You don't have to be slapped upside the head, even though we do that sometimes when we're praying for people and we get excited. You don't have to be spit on. You don't have to be knocked around. You don't have to hang on, or you don't have to let loose. Although we've used all of those terms in days gone by, the root and the foundation of this is that in all reality, it's a promise from God. The Holy Spirit is God's promise to the church. Here's another thing that I thought about, is that God wants you to have the indwelling and the infilling of the Holy Spirit probably more than you want it. Why? Because God said in Acts 1 and 8, we know this scripture very, very well. We've looked at this scripture many, many times. When Jesus was getting ready to ascend and Jesus was getting ready to go back to heaven, he looks there at those disciples that was there, and in verse number 8 of this scripture, he looks back at them and he tells this group of ragtag disciples, if you will, that were from tax collectors, from fishermen, to the all kinds of different guys in the Brother Scott's going to tell us a lot about them, that they were of the commonplace, if you will, of how that they were going to be the ones, the Bible said, are these not the ones who turned the world upside down? They didn't turn the world upside down in their own strength. They didn't turn the world upside down by their own power. They turned the world upside down because on that day of Pentecost that God promised them that they would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let me just go ahead and say this. If you're saved this evening, the Holy Ghost has part in that. Now, I don't want to get all the way in that right now, but you cannot come to God unless the Holy Spirit's drawing you. When you get saved, that's the Holy Spirit beckoning you and pleading and saying, come. And he puts conviction upon your heart. I'll prove that later in the service. But yet when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in measure. But in reality, the Holy Spirit wants to penetrate. He wants to touch every fiber of your being. And just as I would take this bottle of oil and baptize that into a pool of water, if you will, the Holy Ghost wants to take and baptize you in his spirit. In other words, every fiber of your core, we think about it in the physical sense. You got to think about it in the spiritual sense, that every fiber of your spirit is infused with the power of the Holy Spirit. When we begin to think about this, he tells them in Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8, when they begin to go out into the world before they even went to the upper room, he began to tell them there in this scripture. He says, when the Holy Spirit, he says, but you shall, and there's a word again that I looked at when I was reading this, that you shall receive power. Dunamis energia, this power is a power from on high. And he says, and it is going to happen through and by the power of the Holy Ghost. Let me say this early in the message. Too often in Pentecost, too often in the Church of God, we only focus on one element of the indwelling and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And what is that? Speaking in tongues. We only focus on that part of it. I will mention that in a few minutes. But here's the thing that I want you to get a hold of tonight. You say, why do I need the power? Why do I need the Holy Ghost? And why do I need the power of the Holy Ghost? We've looked at that word power many times as I preach through these type of messages, and it is an endowment of power. It is God, that dunamis, that dynamo, if you will. And I've used this example before, that you can have a flashlight with no batteries in it. And a flashlight with no batteries in it is nothing but a shell of what it can be. But yet you put the battery. I have to put batteries in this microphone right here. And if the batteries wasn't in this power pack right here, it would not work. It would not function. It would not be able to do what it was created to do. But honey, just as quick as you put the batteries in it, you put the power in it, the dynamo comes, the energia comes. And it's just like you and I in the church today being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Then he says, once you're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, then you shall be witnesses unto me. It takes, even in 2026, the power of the Holy Spirit to be effective, to be what Jesus wants us to be. And the only thing I can say tonight is simply this. If you don't want the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, poor little old you. But I'm saying, God, whatever you have for me, as much as you have for me, whatever you got to do in me, I'm saying, God, go ahead right now and do it again, Lord. Fill me with your power and fill me with your anointing brand new. Hallelujah to his name. And he said this in the word, and he said that you're going to be witnesses. Again, I'm not going to break down every bit of this. Brother Scott's done this a lot in Sunday school. I've done it a lot. But he says that you're going to be witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria. And look at this. And into the uttermost part of the earth. If you come to the Easter drama, you'll see a lot of this in that drama that day. Of how the disciples were dispersed. When you begin to look at this, we got to understand that this happened throughout the New Testament. Throughout the New Testament, there were many occasions where they were already believers, but yet they had not as of yet been filled with the Holy Spirit. There's two ways to look at that. First of all, you look at it in the essence that they were already believers in Christ, but the Holy Spirit had not as of yet been poured out on the upper upper room for the early church. But yet Acts 19, when Paul was over in the Ephesus area, you can begin to look at that in verse number 1, because you begin to read that, and the word of God was spreading like wildfire. And then they come up on these guys in Acts 19 and 1, and it goes through verse number 7. And this is really something that we've already read, but this is something that we've already studied. But this is a refresher course tonight. And it says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast of Ephesus, finding certain disciples. They were already disciples, they were already believers. In essence, But as you go down through that, Paul begins to ask them some very interesting questions. And number two says, and said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? That's a good question for the church. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And when you look at this, they said unto him, we've not even as much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Now, you got to stay with this whole message. We don't even know whether there be a Holy Ghost or not. Verse 3 goes on and he says, and when he said this unto them, he says, what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. That is the baptism of repentance. And then Paul said, John verily baptized you with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Next verse. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Look at this next verse. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them. Now somebody says, and that's a different message for a different time. What is the secret ingredient about laying hands on people? Because it's obedient to the Word of God. Is it a transfer of power? Can be. But he says that when Paul laid his hands on them, they spake in tongues, and the Bible said, and they prophesied. Verse 7 went on to say this, and it said, and all the men were about 12. So we see that in this incident, when Paul laid his hands upon those that were already believers, the Bible said that when he did this, and you can go back to verse number 6, you can see what the Bible said. And he says, and when he laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them. Separate encounter, a separate act of grace happened in their life at that time. Paul, that great apostle that I'll talk about in just a few minutes, he witnessed this very act. Could you imagine in your mind what an amazing thing that would have been? Now again, we'll get into Paul a little bit about probably maybe 8:30, something like that. Just kidding. But when you look at Paul, you begin to see what this was an amazing situation for Paul. Because really, in all reality, Paul was relatively new in some ways to the church. And I'll talk about that. But yet we see this of how that when Paul laid his hands on them, they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then it says, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now, hang with me for a few minutes. First of all, again, reminding us that there is an outward spiritual evidence that is associated with people, individuals that are filled with the Holy Spirit. About 2 years ago, within the Church of God ranks, it may still be flying around out there right now, prior to the fact that we went to the General Assembly, there was those in the Church of God, they might have been newbies, I don't know, seemed to me like they were newbies, newcomers, they hadn't been around a long time, they were trying to bring a lot of this stuff up to the floor of the General Assembly as to whether or not that the Holy Spirit baptism was first witnessed by evidence of speaking with other tongues. It was going wild within certain ranks of the church. Matter of fact, years ago, Brother Chris knows and some of the others know, I had a good friend. He was a dear young man, loved him to death. He and I parted company over that very doctrine in this church years ago. It happened right here in this church. A young man that I loved and cared a whole lot about. Because he did not believe that the initial evidence of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost was speaking in tongues. And I'll get into that more in just a minute. But I still believe, I want to go on record as saying tonight, if this recording goes to my state overseer, that I still believe in the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Amen. May not be the only evidence. Because I believe that when He comes on you, that in all reality, Sandra, this is the way I learned it, that you're not going to know he's there unless something happens. Amen. And there's got to be a witness of the Spirit to know that he's there. The next thing we look at is Acts number 10. When you look in Acts chapter number 10, again, speaking in tongues was associated with the new believers being filled with the Spirit. Acts 10 and 44 begins, again, another section of scriptures that is evidences of those being filled with the Spirit and speaking in other tongues as evidence of that. Verse 44 goes on and said, while Peter spake these words, look at this. The Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. Watch this. Verse 45, and he says these words, and they of the circumcision, the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because they were on Gentiles, also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Again, on the Jew, on the Gentile. And you can go back to the book of Acts 2 and read that. And I'll read that eventually in this message. But he says that the Holy Spirit fell on all of them. Hey, let me tell you something new, friend. It don't matter to me if you're red, yellow, black, or white. It don't matter to me if you're Chinese, Japanese, Pekingese, or Siamese. If the Holy Ghost wants to move on you, so let the Holy Ghost have his way. Amen. I'll go as far as to say this. You don't have to be afraid of the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody says this, and I'm going to meddle for a minute. I'm afraid that God will make me shout. I'm going to say something to our leadership. Our leadership, you are the examples to everybody in this church. Well, I'm just not a shouter. There's people that's in our leadership, and I don't mean to make you mad at me, but some of you have never raised your hand and glorified God. Come on now. Some of you have never had an evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. I'm not scolding nobody, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. I think today in the church, if we're going to make a difference in the church, in a world that is going to hell, that God needs to see people filled, the world needs to see people filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. You say, well, I don't want to breed confusion in the body. If it's done decent, if it's done in order, if it's done according to God's plan, it is not going to be indecent, it's going to be in order. And my friend, God is not going to embarrass himself if you're really filled with the Spirit. So I say amen. So I said, well, I'm worried about wildfire. Don't worry about wildfire. I got two ways I've learned as a pastor to look at wildfire. First of all, you don't have to worry about wildfire because they tell me there's enough wet blankets laying around to put it out. I'll leave that alone. Number two is this. I don't have to worry about wildfire because if it's really wildfire, after they embarrass themselves a few times and the pastor don't acknowledge them, they'll eventually shut up. If I don't have to go to them and say, listen, would I do that? If I had to, I would. Because God is not the author of confusion. Amen. Let me go on. And he says this in this scripture in verse 45. And he says, the Gentiles also were poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 46 through 48. Going on a little further, he said, for they heard them speak with tongues. The reason I put these verses in there is because these, along with others that I'm going to read, was the three large examples that's given in the book of Acts where people, individuals, Jew, Gentile, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and there was an outward manifestation that the people had been filled with the Spirit. Preacher, do you believe everything that speaks in tongues is the Holy Ghost? Listen to me and listen to me well. Absolutely not. The proof's in the pudding. The proof is in your daily walk. The proof's in your actions. The proof's in how you treat people. The proof is in how you treat other people. I've had situations, and I've told you, and I don't want to meddle, but again, this is a recap. This is a refresher course. I've had people in my days treat me like a junkyard dog and speak in tongues. In days gone by, not here at Thomasville. Let me reiterate, go on record and say, not here in Thomasville. So tongues in and of themselves is not the only, because everything God has, the devil's going to come up with a counterfeit. He's going to do everything he can. I had this lady one time, years ago, and Sherry knows, every time I turn around, it was just, oh my goodness, it was just aggravation and just more confusion is the only way I can say it. And sometimes I get worried. Can I meddle? Thank you. I get really worried when these people are really, really super duper hyper spiritual people that you really have to worry about, that's got a new revelation every single time you talk. I'm not doubting that necessarily, but this lady caught me at the back door, not Thomasville, caught me at the back door. And I don't know her purpose other than the simple fact that she's trying to impress the preacher, which she failed. She failed violently to do that. I've got divers tongues. I thought, okay. She said, I talk Choctaw. I said, Choctaw, whatever Indian it was, something like that. I said, well, that's interesting. I've done this. I was a smart aleck. I'm sorry. I looked and I said, I don't see no Choctaw in here. But if they've ever any Choctaw shows up, I'll let you talk to them. I did that. You can't be mean as a junkyard dog and treat people and think that you're going to be spirit-filled. Woo, I was going to do this easy tonight. And I just sort of messed up the whole situation. No, really, seriously. The Holy Ghost is for a purpose. I can prove it. I can show it to you over and over. And I'm going to go ahead and just move on before I get myself deeper in trouble. Hey, the preacher's had some experiences. And again, if you speak Choctaw in your tongue language, pardon me for being so rude to you tonight. But that's just what happened to me. So they spoke in tongues in Acts 19. They spake in tongues in Acts 10, 44 through 48. We can go on, and it says in verse number 47, and he says, can any man forbid these that they should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? The next verse, he said again, and he continued, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Later, Paul stayed. He was there with them for a season, and he continued to share the word of God with those there at that time. You can go read it when you got time. The next thing. So when we look at this, we can see often that the power of the Spirit of God, and this is the epicenter, this is the crescendo of the book of Acts, chapter number 2. It's where they were in the upper room. They were in the upper room. Why? They were in the upper room out of obedience. Because Jesus had told them, go to the upper room and tarry and wait. I'll get into that in a minute. Go to the upper room and tarry and wait until you be endued with power from on high. In other words, there was an anticipatory situation that they were anticipating what Jesus was going to do next. Let me just go ahead right now and say it. Jesus was getting ready to start this New Testament church after his ascension. And he was getting ready to fill this early church with power. They were there. They were praying. They were expecting. They were anticipating. They were there fellowshipping, breaking bread, continuing in the apostles' doctrine. They were all there in the upper room. They were expecting God to do something. And then on that 50th, that Pentecost, that 50th day after Jesus' resurrection, on that day at a particular time, in verse number 1 of Acts chapter number 2, the Bible begins to tell us there that it was on the day of Pentecost, the Bible said, that when the day of Pentecost had finally come, They were there in one accord, one place. Verse number 2, moving quick. He says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. There was an evidence in the room that something was taking place. There was a sound. And the Bible said, as of a rushing mighty wind. There was a form of some whishing sound. There was a sound that was coming in. I don't know if it sounded like a freight train off in the distance coming towards you or not, but it was a wind that came in that upper room. They heard, they knew that something was going on. And then the Bible said, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. I just want to add to that. I pray this as a Pentecostal preacher, as a Church of God preacher, I say, God, I pray that you would fill Thomasville Church of God again with the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, that you would fill every church on our district with the power of the Holy Ghost. I'll go as far as to say I wish that God would fill every church of God in Western North Carolina, 238 churches, with the power of the Holy Spirit, and go further and talk about the 6,800 churches of God that's in the United States of America. And then I told our membership class earlier this evening, and that it would be extended to the 8 million members around the world in the United States, into the 168 countries, that the power of Pentecost would fall on the Church of God one more time. Would you give the Lord a praise? And it filled all the house. Filled. Somebody shout, filled. Filled. God, would you fill us again? Fill us again, Lord. Oh, God, fill us again. I don't know about you, but as we get older, it seems like that it's harder. As Brother Tim was saying, feels like our strength is gone sometimes and our energies is depleted at times. Oh, but God, I'm just saying, Lord, fill your people again with the Holy Ghost. Fill us with your Spirit. Amen. Goes on in verse 3 and following real quick. And he goes on, he says this in verse number 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. In other words, over every single one of them, there was a forked flame of fire that came down and it sat above them. And there was evidences in the room, and everybody in the room, there was a manifestation of the Spirit of God that looked just exactly like a flame of fire, if you will, upon their head. And the Bible says this again in verse number 3. And you look at it, as you look at this, and it said, and it appeared unto them like as a fire, and it sat down upon each of them. Every person in the room, watch this, was filled with the Holy Spirit. Every person in the room was filled with the power of the Spirit. Oh, that must be a dream, Brother Tim Brisson, of a pastor. It must be a dream. It must be some kind of dream in the heart of a pastor that every person, Sandra, in the room would be filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I don't know about you. I'm just doing a refresher course tonight, my friend. If I'm preaching to nobody, to me, somebody say, bless the preacher, bless the preacher. He needs it, he needs it. Hey, here's the thing. I remember growing up in the Church of God, and there was not an individual that came in the church, my friend, that they would let you be content sitting on the pew. Somebody would be on you like a ragtag, amen, trying to get you to get filled with the Holy Ghost. I said it earlier, there'd be some saying hold on, there'd be some saying let go, whatever the case may be. But my friend, nobody was content until everybody was filled with the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, hallelujah anyhow. I'm saying, God, do it. I'm welcoming the Holy Spirit. And I'm saying, God, do it again. All the place was filled. Oh, my Jesus. Wouldn't that be awesome? If the Holy Ghost began to sweep over. I have to reminisce for a minute. I have to reminisce. I have to just think back to my earlier days in the early 80s. And it was all brand new to me. Sister Beckner, since you're sitting there, I mean, you'll have a conversation. It was all new to me. I grew up around the Church of God, but I wasn't in the Church of God. I grew up around my granny, but I wasn't in church. The first recollection of any outward expression of praise that I ever heard was when I was going down beside my papa's old building near the outhouse that was sitting there, and I rounded the corner to go in his old building down there, and the church was like from here to the dumpster below my granny's. They'd raised the window back in the day. Come on, help the preacher preach. That raised the window back in the day. There wasn't no AC. It wasn't all like it is now. But all of a sudden, I walked around the corner minding my own business, and I heard from my right side, there was some woman down there, and she went, "Woo!" Praising God. It got my attention. Brother Don, the hair, no doubt in my mind, stood up on the back of my neck. And I thought to myself, boy, they're having a good time down there at that church. Brother West, I was probably 8 years old. But something hit me that day that I remember it at 63 of what was going on in that church. Amen. And it carried me through my childhood to be open to the moving of the Spirit of God. Amen. In the early 80s, when we got into the Church of God, we would go to different meetings and different things. And we ended up at Charlotte Camp Meeting. How many of you ever went to Charlotte Camp Meeting? That's a great group of people in this room. There'd be times, and whether it be a T.L. or a Floyd Lahan or a Culpepper or whoever might have been preaching under the unction of the Holy Ghost, that it would start. How many of you remember where the gym was? Hey, from the gym, Brother Tim, to the other side of the building, on the right-hand side of that building, there'd be somebody beginning to magnify God and praise God and glorify God. And this is the absolute truth. It was like a blue haze of glory. And the people of God would begin to praise God. It would move across that entire congregation, all the way around to the back of it, all the way around to the gym side, all the way back around to the platform side. And my friend, people's lives, watch this, was absolutely transformed by the power of the Spirit of the living God in that place. I remember that to this day. I wouldn't trade nothing for it. Let us be filled that another generation might know. Let me say that again. Let us all be filled that another generation might know. When you look at this, it said, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Is it okay if the preacher preaches a little bit longer? He says, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. God, do it again. And I pray that everybody in this room, I pray that we want that. I'm praying for this Pentecostal church sitting here at 1200 West Holly Hill in Thomasville, North Carolina. Never be ashamed of the outflow and the moving of the Holy Spirit of God. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But there are some that even attend with us at certain times, Sunday morning primarily. They don't even know what I'm talking about right now. It's as foreign to them as a foreign language. They have no clue. So these type of messages do need to be preached on Sunday morning too. Amen. And he goes on and says that they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. As the Spirit filled them, not only with the wind, not only with the fire, as the Spirit came upon them, that manifestation, they began to speak in other tongues. Watch this. Speaking in other tongues is not always used to convince other people. It's used to convince you that something's going on in you that is of the supernatural. Come on, somebody. When the super touches the natural, it's going to have a supernatural experience. Filled. Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. When we think about Peter, later I'll mention him again here shortly, but I'm going to talk about these for a moment. And it might take to 8:30, I'm just kidding. Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. When you look in Acts chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, just real quick. Acts 4, 8 and 9. Then Peter, look at this next word. Filled with the Holy Ghost. I'll say that to say this. If I don't get into all this, you'll at least know where I'm coming from. If Jesus was the one that was born by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of Mary. The angel delivered the message. That is within her is conceived of the Holy Ghost. Jesus in Matthew 4, Luke 4, Jesus being full of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, full of the Spirit, was led into the wilderness to fight the devil. If Jesus has to be full of the Spirit to fight the devil, don't you think you need to be?
Amen.
Woo! That's a good place to say amen right there. The early church leaders were filled with the Holy Ghost. Do we not think that us as leaders today need to be full of the Holy Ghost? I didn't say the phony ghost. I didn't say Casper the ghost, the make-believe ghost. The devil ain't afraid of that. The devil technically ain't even afraid of speaking in tongues. The biggest threat to the enemy is when you and I are truly baptized in the Holy Ghost and full of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to go on record as saying this. There is no age limit. Too young or too old to be full of the Holy Ghost. I've seen children filled with the Spirit of God. I've seen older people filled with the Spirit of God. But my point is this. And if Jesus needed to be full of the Holy Ghost, I'm getting into your Easter program a minute. The Holy Ghost came down in the form of a dove and sat upon Jesus. And the voice out of the heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "You rulers of Israel, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel." Verse 9. "If this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, and by what means he is made whole." In this, it was just simply where Peter and John was going up to the temple. The lame man was there. "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have." I want to say this way. There's a generation waiting for such as I have, give I unto thee. Hey, Scott. This morning I got a text. My phone's laying down there. I got sitting over there. I got a text message from my grandson, Jackson. Screenshot of our evangelist teaching Sunday school class. That's what Chris calls him. Great Bible teacher. And this morning, me sitting over there and my grandson, Jackson, listening. The biggest desire, one of, is to be able to impact those three little boys in Houston and the others. And Janet, I'll go ahead and say it, John and Caleb. I was going to say Garrison. I was going to say Caleb, which is Brittany's other children. They're our grandchildren too. We got an agreement on that. There's a generation waiting. Hey, Chris, don't think they're too young. Don't think you're not going to be able to make a difference. Here's my heart. I've already found myself just in a place. Let me just say it like this. You can't give somebody something you don't have. Leaders, if we're not full of the Holy Ghost, we can't give it to somebody else, or we can't impact another generation. People like, even though they were not perfect people, and since then there's a lot happened. People like Linda Tao. They wasn't perfect people. But they were people that impacted mine and her life. Rhonda Early, a lady that was the first person I ever heard in my life sing in the Holy Ghost. And I'd sat there in absolutely amazement. An old man by the name of Will Mintz, who had only one arm, would praise God and glorify God and tears coming down his cheeks. And I looked at that old man. He was in his late 80s even then when I was but a kid coming along. I thought, I looked at that old man and here he is with one arm. We got a picture of him the other day. Hey, here this old man is with one arm. If he can praise God with his one good arm, what excuse do I have? Amen. These people were spirit-filled. It don't mean we was in a perfect church. There was a lot of things that I found out later as I got a little older and a lot of things going on there. But yet the genuine desire was there in these people's lives to change mine and her life and a whole lot of young people's life. Let me try to land somewhere. Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost, watch this, to preach the gospel. Anointed to preach the good news. Second person was a man by the name of Stephen. Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 7, verses 55 and 56. Watch this. Acts chapter number 7, 55 and 56. And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Look at that verse. For you that look at the thought that there's no such thing as the Trinity, Father God, Jesus Son, Holy Ghost, Spirit, right there in that verse, working, doing different things. They all work cohesive. They're all one together. And I'll leave the Trinity to somebody that's smarter than I, but I'm telling you what, there's a really good verse to work on the Trinity. But then you see this verse number 56, and it says, when you look at that, and he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. When you look at this verse, it was there when Stephen was preaching the gospel, and Stephen brought them back all the way to Israel, and he brought them up to current day. He called them a bunch of stiff-necked people. How long have you resisted the Holy Ghost? They begin to run upon him. They begin to gnash upon him with their teeth. They begin to harm him. They eventually begin to stone him. Paul was there. At that time, his name was Saul of Tarsus. Talk about him in a minute. Why do you need the Holy Ghost? I seen it in this verse when I was studying this. The Holy Ghost, go back in the book of John. I'm not going to take the time to go there tonight. I'll tell you. The Holy Ghost in the book of John, Jesus said to them there, he said, I will send you another comforter. The word another is the word that means one likened to the same. As Jesus was the disciple, was Jesus was to disciples, as Jesus walked planet earth, so is now the Holy Ghost to you and I as we walk the earth. The word another is one like unto the same. As Jesus was to those disciples, the Holy Ghost is to you and I today. When they would begin to gnash upon Stephen and they begin to stone Stephen, Stephen's prayer was, God, lay not this sin to their charge. And then the Bible said he gave up the ghost and he died. Stephen, watch this. Why do we need the Holy Ghost? We need the Holy Ghost through the trials of life to be able to retain a relationship with God. Even through trials, tribulation, Peter's anointing there was to preach the gospel. Stephen's was to undergo and sustain great affliction and pain. Third thing here, real quick. Paul, full of the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter number 9 and 17, we see Saul there, Acts 9:17. When you begin to look at this, it's when Ananias, Saul was on the road to Damascus, and God revealed himself, Jesus revealed himself in the noonday sun, and he fell from the beast that he was riding on, and he said, "Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." At that time, God arrested Saul's heart, and he told him that he was to go to the house of Ananias, and he was to go there, and he was blinded by the noonday sun, and God blinded him. He had to get his eyes off of everything else he was doing. He forgot about the Damascus Road going to Jerusalem and the papers. God had a new assignment for him. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. At the bottom part, let me read the whole thing. And he said, "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, brother Saul," look at him, he called him brother. The Lord, even Jesus, "that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight," watch this, "and be filled with the Holy Ghost." Amen. Oh, how we need to be filled. Oh, I say, God, Brother Larry, fill us again. Fill us again. Fill us again with the power of the Spirit. And he said here in this scripture, and he said, "And be filled with the Holy Ghost." I got to go up here to give her my next scripture. I got it wrote down, but I don't remember it. Here it is. Here it is right here. If you look at this in Acts chapter 13, verse 9. "Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes upon him." I didn't go into the whole text. But look what happened. Look at this transformation. We need to we need the Holy Ghost not only for trials, tribulation, to preach the gospel. Look at this. We need the Holy Ghost for transformational living. Come on, somebody. God, if you can do it in anybody, do it in me. Hey, let me close right here. Other people I looked at, other things I looked at, the book of John I looked at, but this is where I want to land this evening. Ephesians chapter 5 is an order from Paul the Apostle to the church of Ephesus. You've read Revelation. I don't have time to go into that. What happened to the church of Ephesus? When you look in the book of Revelation, this church of Ephesus, we look in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 9. Yeah, verse 18, I'm sorry. Ephesians 5 and 18. What happened? When you look in Revelation, something happened in that church. They done about everything else right, except they done one thing. They fell out of love with Jesus. They forgot their love for him. And friend, I believe that the Holy Ghost will keep us in love with Jesus. I do. I do. A true indwelling and a true infilling of the Holy Spirit will so radically change your life. Just by show of hand, not to embarrass nobody. Maybe we can have a conversation about it sometime. Brother Scott, I keep referencing him so much because he's inspirational, but I've heard him say some of this. He said in his Sunday mornings that he remembers of trying so hard. You remember talking about that? So hard to receive the Holy Ghost. And finally found out that it's as simple as a surrender and saying, "Lord, here I am." Ephesians 5 and 18 teaches us, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." Don't be overcome and intoxicated by the things of the world. But he says, be filled with the Spirit. How many of you remember being filled with the Holy Ghost? It'll mark you. It'll mark you. And I didn't really look around. I wanted you to reflect upon it. That's between you and God. It'll mark you. It'll change your life. You've heard my testimony. Most of you have heard that. I won't go into the whole thing, but I only want to talk about one part of it. I was working at a convenience store called the Easy Stop. I filled ice bags. I stocked a little bit. I swept the parking lot. I didn't run the register. I just done odds and ends, just whatever they need, whatever. And I was working. We were not married. She was on the church bus, the Mountain View Church of God church bus. They were going to Whittier camp meeting. And I'd see that church bus go by while I was there, and I was yearning and longing, God, I want to go to camp meeting. God, I want to go, and I want to be. Yes, I wanted to be with Sherry, but even at that time, there was a yearning to be filled with the Spirit. It starts with a desire. God, oh God, how I want to be filled with the Spirit. Let me just say this, and I'm not trying to take away from what I've already said, but if you get the Holy Ghost, the tongues will come. It's a package deal. Amen. Don't worry about that part of it all the time. Just worry about, I say that worry is the wrong word to use. Get concerned about being filled with Jesus. A yearning and a longing, God, fill me. Let me draw nigh to you. James says, draw nigh to God and God will draw nigh to you. You take a step towards God, God's going to take a step towards you. And you and God's going to meet in the middle, and it's going to be a glorious occasion. But I've seen that church bus all week going to camp meeting. Camp meeting used to last a week at a time. Now it's 3 days and it's over, you know. Blow in, blow up, and blow out. Hope it happens while we're here, you know what I mean? I do the same thing with revival services. Shame on the preacher. But it was Saturday night. There was a man that we all know by the name of Ray H. Hughes Sr. preaching that meeting. He was Mr. Pentecost. About every message that he preached in line with the Holy Spirit being poured out. And that night, Ray Hughes preached, and I think the chairs and everything was different then than they are now. But at the end of that service, he said, Lord, he said, if there's anybody here tonight that needs to be filled with the Spirit, get up and come right now and God will fill you. Preachers used to give altar calls like that. I remember jumping up. I mean, Joanne Dean in my eyes just caught you. I remember jumping up. And I mean, I really went to that altar, Jesse, with a determination, Don, to be filled. I mean, it's that kind of determination that it took in my life. But now it's like, whatever. If God wants me to have it, He'll give it to me. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Sometimes you got to get hungry. Let me say this, and I'm going to wind it down. Just let God do what God's going to do. Stay with her just a minute. Just let God do what God's going to do. I remember there was a path from my old house to my granny's house. Brother Wes, I'd walk in her back door, and to the right was the refrigerator. I went to that refrigerator for two reasons. One, curiosity. Wondering what was in the refrigerator. I hear the Holy Ghost saying, some of you have only been coming to the refrigerator for too long just to see what's in it. Amen. Woo! The other reason was, I would go down there because I was a little knothead, snotty-nosed, barefoot, blue jean, busted holes all in it. That's why I don't like holy blue jeans, because I got made fun of in school for wearing old, wore-out, patched-up, knotty-holed blue jeans, and now they go pay $80 a pair for them. I had to go to the rag pile and get them and wear them and have people make fun of you because you had holes in your clothes. different society, different world that we're living in. But I'd go and open that refrigerator door because I was hungry. Would you stand with me and allow the Holy Ghost to begin to move right now in this room? Home! Home! You'll only come to God when you're hungry. Mess it the rest of the time, it ain't nothing but curiosity to see what's in the refrigerator. I believe this altar's open right now. It's open for people right now to say, God, I am renewing my life to you. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire. If that's you, come. I don't know what else to do. But if you're here tonight and you want God to renew you, you want God to do a special work in your heart, you want God to do a new work in your heart, start making your way right now. I'm your friend, I'm your buddy, I'm your pal. But right now, I'm your pastor. You hear me? Right now, I'm your pastor. And God's telling me to tell you, if you'll obey Him, He'll touch you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. God will do something in your life that you've only dreamed of and you've only asked Him for. But God said, I'll do it. Come on, church, all over this building. Raise your hands and glorify God. Somebody say, God, here I am. Fill me up. Here I am, Lord, fill me up. Fill me, Lord, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. God, fill me afresh. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Shatatalarabayandarayasi. God, fill up Kim's life, God. God, she don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afeared of Him. You don't have to fear. Just praise Him. Just praise Him, and when it's time, it'll happen. You may be at home in your bed at night glorifying God. I've heard of people in their home being filled with the Holy Ghost, walking through the living room and the Holy Ghost come upon them. They begin to speak in other tongues. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we love you tonight. 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 How many of you love the Lord? Give Him a big old wave offering. Give Him a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's other preaching in that I'll get to later. I ain't planning on going nowhere. I still got plenty of preaching years ahead of me. But they are gifts of the Spirit. They are gifts of the Spirit that are Spirit-driven and are Spirit-given. There's functions of the operations of the Spirit. How that the Holy Spirit is to operate within the body. All of that stuff is stuff that we can talk about. It's stuff that we can preach about. But I want to be filled. Amen. Thank God. Others pray and stay as long as you want to. If you need to go, God bless you. We ain't going to talk about you for leaving if you don't talk about us for staying. God bless you. We love you. Have a fantastic night.